That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I want to be more than
good morning and beautiful snowy morning out of New Milford this morning. This is the Queen of the Empowered Soul, and it is going to be another amazing segment on the A New Day show this morning. I have two of my amazing friends on the show today, and our first guest this morning, who has been waiting patiently to come on to you. She's going to be Pastor Ernestine Urquhart out of Newtown, Connecticut. And after her, then we are going to have Cheryl Burchard, popular known as Sister CEO out of California. So I have two amazing women this morning that's going to rock your world and just help you to evolve from where you are. So soon I'll be bringing our first guest on, but I just want to remind you that the number to call in is 646-915-8166, and I'll take your calls as we go along. And momentarily, I will get the chat room up. I have not done it yet, and I'm not sure whether Pat is on. But for those of you who are on the computer in the chat room, if Pat is there, that means it's up. If not, I'll get it up momentarily. I encourage you to ask questions. Let us get these two episodes today extremely interactive. I want to remind you to save the date for our Vision Weekend 2010, which will be taking place between February the 18th to the 21st, and that is going to be taking place up in Southbury, Connecticut at the Crown Plaza. And that we will have the registration up in a couple of a few days, hopefully. We are just working out the figures and everything. Had a meeting yesterday with the hotel, and we are just waiting to get the final figures so we can send it out. But we have some amazing speakers for you. The focus of that Vision Weekend is to help you get a clear focus and vision of what it is you want for your business, or what kind of business you want to get into, and to help you understand the difference between your visions and your goals so that you can experience abundant success. Also, I want you to visit my website, please, www.clarkhudson.com, and pick up a copy of my book, Conversations on Success. And I encourage you to follow me on Twitter, follow me on Facebook, visit the Online Empowerment Institute. We have a lot of experts there who have committed their time to help empower you. So those are just my little housekeeping for this morning. And I look forward for your support in that conference and tell everyone about it. So at this time, I want to welcome my friend, my colleague, my distinguished, honored guest to the A New Day airwaves this morning. Pastor Ernestine, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. Fine, thank you. It's a wonderful day. Although it's snowing, we're just happy.
Yes, because, you know, I tell people all the time, every day that we are alive to express what we are observing about that day, it's a great day. So we have great snowy days, great sunny days, great windy days, cloudy days, because there are a lot of people who went to bed who did not wake up this morning. So we are blessed.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
To be experienced this. Okay, well, I just want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to have conversation with me this morning about women in ministry, because we know there are a lot of sayings out there about a woman in ministry, and I know you are one of the powerful ones, and you know, not too many people around the world knows about you yet.
Yes.
But we are praying that after this show, the rest of the world will know what we know, we in Connecticut and in New York and all that know about you. So, in the beginning, let us start from the beginning. Would you please take a few minutes and introduce yourself to the people? Tell them what you want them to know about you, and then we are going to go into your passion, vision, and focus of ministry.
Amen. Well, I'm Pastor Ernestine Urquhart. I pastor a church in Bethel, Connecticut, called Guiding Light Interdenominational Church. We link up with all faiths that profess Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and believe in the fivefold ministry, believe in speaking in tongues, laying hands on the sick, and signs, wonders, and miracles. We also believe that we are to empower one another and disciple one another so that they too may go out into the world and disciple others, as Jesus has done with his disciples. And with that said, I also go into the prisons. We're in about 8-9 prisons doing life skill workshops.
Pastor Ernestine, before you go into that, I want you to tell them a little bit more about you leading up to ministry, because you didn't start ministry in the beginning of your life.
No, that's right.
Tell them a little bit more about you personally. I want them to get intimately connected to you.
All right. Before I went into the ministry, I was I am a mother of three sons, successful sons. One has gone back to grad school to become a doctor. He's married with four children. I have another son who is an attorney, and I have a younger son who is technical support for doctors in the OR. And, of course, I'm married 31 years to a husband who was working with IBM, is now retired executive, and now has gone into real estate. And with that said, I started working because I was a housewife, and being that my sons had all finished schooling and had gone off on their own, I decided that I needed to do something with my life, and I decided that I would work at one of the major department stores, the upper-scale department store in Greenwich, Connecticut. And working there, I helped a lot of distinguished people with clothing and matching up outfits and so forth. And as a result, I said, well, you know, since I like clothing and I like people and I like putting together outfits, I may as well start my own business and become an image consultant, fashion coordinator, and a personal shopper. And so that's what I did. Mm-hmm. I started my business where I shopped for my clients who had the money to pay and bought their clothing and coordinated them and coordinated their closets. I also gave them a new look because some of them needed a refreshing appearance when they would go out to the world, the marketplace to work, the job market, or wherever it was that they were going. If it was a black tie affair, I put together their outfits and suggested how they should wear their hair and what kind of shoes would go with that particular outfit. And then with that said, I saw that people who were very discouraged because they didn't have a goal or purpose, I saw that God had given me a gift to encourage and exalt them. And as a result of putting together their wardrobe, their suggesting how they should wear their hair, I encouraged them and let them know that, you know, if you don't have anything to say because the conversation either is above your head or mm-hmm. maybe it's just not something that you want to converse on, mm-hmm. smiling does a lot for you and says a lot. And you can win a lot of friends in just your smile, a simple smile. Mm-hmm. And with that said, I saw that people would take that advice, and as a result, they had gained new friends
yes.
and started to explore the other possibilities of their lives and then become very successful in their business.
Right, Wonderful. Well, thank you for saying that, because people need to understand a lot of times people take our successes and they get intimidated, and they do not understand the journey that we traveled to where we are now. So I always love to have my guests get intimately connected to the listeners so they can listen and say, well, oh, if Pastor Ernestine can do that, so can I.
Yes.
But even then, when you were a personal consultant, getting these people together, mm-hmm. you were still so connected spiritually.
Yes.
And that was one of the main reasons why you were able to relate to these clients in such an affectionate way.
That's correct.
And even to see qualities in them that even though they were so affluent and wealthy, mm-hmm. they sometimes didn't see those qualities in themselves. But you took the time to highlight those things in them.
That's correct. And as a result of highlighting those qualities in them, they became even more successful than they were. And as a result, they had offered to help me in whatever it is that I wanted to do.
What a blessing. Mm-hmm. What a blessing. So let us fast forward to where you are now and ministry. How long have you been saved?
I've been saved, well, let's just say this. When I was 4 years old, four or five mm-hmm. years old, I was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
And speaking
Amen.
In tongues. And, Amen. And just stayed saved. Of course, I strayed a little bit in high mm-hmm. school mm-hmm. when I was in the ninth grade. I never had a boyfriend and just wanted to know what that was like.
Mm-hmm.
And strayed away, but I always prayed and said, God, please don't catch me out here, and I'm mm-hmm. not ready. Please don't allow my soul yes. to be lost.
Yes.
And so with that said, I went back into the church at 10th grade
mm-hmm.
And stayed in for a while, and then I got into college. And you know, when you go into college and you meet all kinds of friends and kids mm-hmm. are doing all sorts of things,
mm-hmm.
you feel, in a sense, that you have missed out on something, and you're
yes,
not
you
having
feel
as
like
much
you're
fun.
The odd person. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so I strayed a little bit for a couple of months or so,
mm-hmm.
and when I got out there, I did not like it. It felt as though I was naked, and I was being let down in a cold hole.
Mm.
And I said, God, I don't want this kind of life. And so I did stay out there for a little bit longer and dated a few of the young men there.
Mm-hmm.
And one young man that I dated, I didn't know that he had a temper, but he had a temper. And he showed me the ugly side of him. And I said, God, if you get me out of this mess, you won't ever have to worry about me again.
Right.
And then after that, I thanked God that he delivered me. And
mm-hmm.
I later on went into the church and stayed in the church. And as a result, I'm saved today.
Isn't it a blessing, though, that how amazing God is?
Mm-hmm.
He never judges us or anything. He always stretches hands out to embrace us
That's
when
right.
we come back. Because we always think the grass is greener out there.
That's
but
right.
he never says to us, I told you so.
That's right. He's never
he just embraces us.
That's right. He's never a lover that will ever bring up your past.
No.
And say that you've done X, Y, and Z. He'll never do that.
Wonderful, 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 wonderful. And I know, you know, all that you have mentioned, there is somebody who is listening out there now or who will listen later. Who says, that is my testimony too, because we all do stuff,
yes.
and that could be my testimony.
Mm-hmm.
You started in the beginning when I had stopped you to speak about the prison ministry and everything, and I know that you have a church, you minister and everything, but I know several days a week, your car is leading to different prisons.
Yes.
Not only in Connecticut, but in New York as well.
That's correct.
You have such a passion for the people behind bars.
Yes.
Let us talk about that. How did that passion get started? And you just experience it in such a profound way.
Yes. Well, I know of a person that's very close to me that has been in jail for something that they did not do. Mm-hmm. And I could hear their cry. And no matter how much we would pray and ask God for deliverance, that cry would still be the same with that individual. Mm-hmm. And so I said, Lord, I said, if I can go and you open the door for me and I can go in and help people and help them through their hard times, their difficult times, and even be an agent for you or a messenger for you that bring them hope and encouragement, then mm-hmm. God, maybe someone will do the same for the person that I know that is tucked away.
Yes,
and
so you got one. Yep.
And so with that said, the Lord opened the doors for the prisons. And so we were in about 10 prisons in New York and Connecticut. And as a result, we have this life skill workshop going on there where I go into Sing Sing. I go to Bedford Hills, just to name a few, Taconic Correctional Facility, Garner Correctional Facility, and Beacon Correctional Facility, you name it. So I go there and both the federal and the state and talk to the men and the women about salvation, talk about getting their lives together, talk about not looking at what has happened, but look ahead now. If there's anyone that you need to forgive, forgive now. Just forget about what they have done and why you're in there. Forgive now. Don't look at the past, because you have nothing more to do for the past.
It's gone. It's
forward.
Archived.
That's
it's history.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
correct. You look ahead. And then if you stand forgiving, stand forgiving and asking God to forgive you, and if you have done wrong to the person that perhaps caused you to be in prison, if you ask them for forgiveness, then maybe you're not permitted to call that person or contact that person, then what you do is pretend that person is there and say, I ask your forgiveness. Please forgive me. I was wrong. And that starts the process.
Exactly.
Of the Lord delivering and healing you and setting you free.
Yes.
And whatever man has given you, man does not have the ultimate say. This is what I love about the Lord. Man is not the ultimate. Above the judge's head, the words, before they took it out of some of the courts, it said, in God we trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the only person, he is the only one that you trust.
That's right.
Regardless of what man says. That's why, you know, when the judge gives you a sentence and the lawyers work on your behalf and they say, well, we want to appeal that, you know, and then you win that appeal, that just goes to tell you that the judges don't have the last say.
That's right.
And so you don't put your faith and your trust in man. You don't put it in man. You put it in God.
That's right.
So with that said, we've seen men and women get out of prison, some women facing 18 years federal time.
Mm-hmm.
18 years federal time. We get in there and we pray and we ask the Lord to make work a miracle. The next month or so, a couple of months later, the appeal comes back and the woman is walking the streets.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
So this is nobody but God. And so I like a God that when you pray and you ask him for something and you're diligently and you're sincere about it, that he brings results.
That's right.
That's how you know whether or not you're going somewhere.
Yes. And, you know, a lot of people outside on the streets as the women and men in prison refer to us outside as people on the streets.
Being free.
Being free.
When we're walking around locked up in a cage ourselves.
Exactly. And I know I did prison ministry for a few years, Kairos. And I also did at the federal prison in Danbury.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people look at me and say, well, how can you do that? And I look them straight in the eyes, deep down inside of them, and I tell them, if it was not but for the grace of God, you and I could be behind there too.
That's right.
When you go there and you sit and you talk to these women, you realize, my God, thank you. For having me on the other side.
That's right. And because I let them know that the only difference between them and us is that we didn't get caught.
Exactly. That's right.
Did not get caught.
Because we are no perfect people. And if we peel the onion back, far enough, we are going to find something that we say, God, thanks for your grace.
That's right.
And mercy. Grace
That's
and
right.
mercy.
That's
you know,
right.
because a lot of women are there for, and a lot of men for.
That's right.
Out of the kindness of their heart. That's mm-hmm. what land them there for something. So.
That's right. I
just, you know, I commend you and embrace you for the work that you keep doing in these people's lives.
Yes.
And to help them to understand that they are not forgotten, because a lot of them, their families have given up on them.
Yes.
And they have nobody. They
That's
don't
right.
hear no letter, no nothing.
Yes.
Absolutely nothing.
Yes.
And I just want to be thankful that there are people like you and others who have devoted a time
yes.
to these people to know that we love you.
Yes. Well,
now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that in a way in which some of the inmates are able to give back to society because they feel that they may have even wronged society in some way,
mm-hmm.
is that we have a Knit to Fit project that is our it's a registered trademark that we have in the mm-hmm. prisons, where the women are knitting and crocheting shawls, cardigans, sweaters for
Beautiful.
Women that will be released from prison, as well as mm-hmm. women that are homeless and battered. And they had to leave their house, and now they're probably in a shelter now or some sort of halfway house where they can wear these shawls and sweaters and cardigans in addition to the coats that they have or jackets that they have to keep them warm. So this is a way in which some of the inmates and some of the women are giving back to society. So we thank God for that project that's going on. So people donate yarn. To the nonprofit organization that I run,
mm-hmm.
they donate the yarn and the knitting needles and the crochet hooks, and I take them to the prisons. And
mm-hmm.
then when they're finished with the sweaters, we have some sweaters that are now going to be coming out of one of the prisons in upstate New York
Beautiful.
That are set aside for us so that I can come and get them on tomorrow morning
mm-hmm.
and then bring them to the women that are in the shelters in, you know, Danbury and Waterbury and the various shelters around the Connecticut area.
Wonderful. What a beautiful story. Wow, wonderful. Well, you tell the women that I express gratitude to them for doing that on behalf of all the listeners around the world
yes.
on the A New Day show.
Yes.
Pastor Ernestine, let us talk about what it is like for a woman in ministry.
Okay, well, for me, a woman in ministry and some of my other clergy friends, they that are women, they do have somewhat of a challenge, I'll say it's
mm-hmm.
a challenge, in getting a congregation, one, started and then keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, there are personality conflicts, of course, and that's just with anybody
Anything
in
we
any
do.
Workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it also has to do with whether or not you can run a church effectively. But for me, it's also a joy to be able to preach to a congregation, preach to men, preach to women, preach to teens about the Word of God and about the love of God and about what God means to them and what God wants to do in their lives, and equip them with the Word of God. And see the transformation happen before your eyes as they continue to come to church, as they continue to listen to the word and take that word in and then live it out. It's a beautiful thing to see. And, you know, when I was reading the scriptures where when Mary was at the tomb, she was crying and realized that Jesus was not in the tomb, but there were two angels that were sitting, one at the head and one at the foot, and asking her, why was she crying? And then later on she realized after a while that Jesus was speaking to her when she was in the garden, and she thought he was the gardener. And he said, Mary, and she looked at him, and she said, oh, Rabbi, he says, go and tell my disciples. That I and Peter too that I am risen, that I am in Galilee, and that I'll be in Galilee. Meet me there. She was the first. She was the first woman sent to tell that Jesus had risen. So she was the first to tell the gospel, to speak about Jesus' rising from the dead. And so what happens is there are some people that feel that women cannot deliver a message. But, you know, if God can speak through a donkey, if he can also use a rooster, he can also speak through women. You know why? Because women are very sensitive. Not only are they sensitive, but they are they can do many things at one time. You know, like a mother, sometimes she's feeding one child, nursing one child. She's also preparing supper, and she's talking on the phone at the same time. We are multitasked. But I find that ministry for women in general can be very it can be very nurturing for men, especially young men that are coming up who perhaps had not had a mother or a grandmother. And so women in the ministry can be very nurturing in that sense, as well as women, teens that don't have parents and need someone to lead them and guide them. So I find that ministry is so rewarding for me because it allows me to use the gifts that God has given me. And so with that said, I'm excited about what God has given me to do. I approach it every day with energy, with vigor, and with a zeal for him, because I know that time is short. And not only is it short, but the Bible tells us to seize the time. Seize it right then and there. Live out each moment as if it is your last. And so we have to occupy reading the Word of God, speaking the Word of God to those that we meet, those that the Lord sends across our path, those that we speak on the phone. We have to seize the time, occupy it with the Word of God, so that whatever it is that God has put in our path to do, we can do it, and he can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," when it's time for us to see him. Ministry can be very rewarding for anyone that that God has given the gift to minister to. It's such an entrusted job that God gives people that would really listen to not only him, but listen as the Holy Spirit directs, and then accomplish what they were sent to do. There's one thing for God to give you an assignment. It's another thing for you to accomplish that assignment. And so there are so many people that are given assignments, but they don't carry it through. That's why the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And so I thank God that he's causing the ministry to flourish. He's causing people to come. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we may not have a full church, and God is not looking at the numbers, but he's looking at what you do with what he has given you to do it with. And if you're faithful over that, and if you're faithful over the few, he'll make you ruler over much. And so with that said, I'm just so grateful that God has given me people, co-laborers, that are willing to work along with me in this field of the ministry, of bringing the gospel to not just the prisons, but I also counsel women at the local center who are having a difficult time with divorce and separation, and the children are having a difficult time. And as a result, you know, we counsel them and encourage them in their walk and try to guide them as best possible so that they are not they're not wandering around in the wilderness, that they have some sort of focus and they know where they're going. And so with the counseling and the encouragement that I'm able to give these women, they're able to live their lives without husbands, and they're able to raise their children without a lot of unnecessary frustrations. but they know where they're going, and they know what they need to do, and they know how to do it. And that's very important. So, you know, when we just when we minister as pastors and as women, we just don't minister in just one area, but God has caused us to cover a lot of area, a lot of territory, and he's entrusted us with people that will take what we have taught them and apply it to their daily lives and the lives of those that that they are entrusted to or entrusted with. And so I thank God that as we continue to grow, Guiding Light Interdenominational Church is growing, and we're moving as God would lead us and guide us. And people are knowing about the church through the TV series that I preach on every Tuesday and Thursday on Charter 21, Tuesday at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on Channel 21. People are just being encouraged. And I have to say, as a pastor, sometimes we get a little discouraged about certain things that are going on and situations that are happening. And we're so busy pouring out to people and in the lives of those people that we forget that we need to be fed as well. And so one day I was just sitting and I was just feeling, you know, kind of low in my spirit, and didn't realize that it was almost 2 o'clock, and had the TV on, and I was just feeling real low. And all of a sudden I saw my series come on. And as my series came on, it didn't seem like it was me preaching. It seemed like it was somebody else. And the telephone had rang, and it was one of my nieces. And I said to my niece, I said, you know, I'm sorry. I said, is everything okay? She says, everything's okay. I said, well, I'm going to have to call you back in a little bit. I said, I'm on TV, and I want to hear what this woman has to say. And as I listened to what the message was, as I was speaking on TV, I was so encouraged by what it was I was saying that it didn't even look like me. It didn't even sound like me. It sounded like another person. But what I had to say as I was preaching on TV, I was feeding myself. And I was so encouraged and so empowered by what it is that God had given me to preach to the audience that I was encouraged myself. And I said to myself, I'm going to now listen to what I preach, and I'm going to be encouraged by what I say. You know, David often wrote that when he was discouraged, that he had to encourage himself. When there was nobody there to encourage him, he had to encourage himself. And so I said, well, Lord, I feel encouraged. I feel as though I can go now. And so with many pastors, a lot of times they have issues that they can't share with the congregation. They can't just share with anybody. And sometimes, you know, you can talk to the Lord, but you still need a physical person right there, somebody that you can actually touch. Not that you cannot touch the Holy Spirit and he can't touch you, but just somebody that you can just confess to. And so when I heard that message, I said, God, I thank you that you allowed me to hear myself and hear what it is that I had to preach. And the message was that it was titled, when you pray, pray with the expectation of receiving. And so I had actually received the answer to this to the situation that I was a little upset about. And and to God be the glory, he had encouraged me through friends.
Amen. 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 I just want to thank you for continuing, because technology has a life of its own.
Yes, it does.
And it's just an amazing thing. That's the beauty when you're working with a professional. The show goes on.
Yes, it does.
Yes. And I just want you to finish your thought. I'm not sure how far you have gotten. We have 24 minutes remaining. Mm. So why don't you take it, see that we are at the halfway mark. Mm-hmm. Just give out your information on how people can connect with you. Those who are feeling a love and desire to seed into your ministry,
mm-hmm.
wherever they are, across God's globe,
mm-hmm.
give them that information, how they can reach you.
Okay. If anyone would like to reach me, my name is Pastor Ernestine, E-R-N-E-S-T-I-N-E, Urquhart, U-R-Q-U-H-A-R-T. I'm located at P.O. Box 727, Newtown, one word, Newtown, Connecticut, 06470. The phone number is area code 203-426-4338. My email number is godsentu, the letter U, the number 1, at AOL.com.
Okay.
And you can send your literature, you can even call me. Let me know how God has blessed you and what you'd like me to pray for. And if you'd like to visit the church, we're located at 2 Stony Hill Road in Bethel. That is Bethel, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And we are in the Scalzo Building, right opposite Target on Route 6,
mm-hmm.
in the Scalzo Building, the Century 21 Scalzo Building, downstairs, lower level. And we have service every Sunday morning at 11 a.m., and we finish up at 12:45. So it's not a long time, but 12:45. And right after service, we have refreshment hour. And that's, you know, when everyone gets together and they want to talk and just chat and just catch up on the lives of what God is doing for each one of us.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, because there are many people out there who can bless God's work.
That's correct.
And we want them to know that this is open for them to do that.
Yes.
Yes. So what are some things we can look forward to for Guiding Light Interdenominational Ministry? What are some of the goals you have for that ministry?
Well, one of the goals is I'm endeavoring to get a facility, a house, a large house, mm-hmm. or a facility, maybe like a hotel or mm-hmm. a little inn, that women that are battered and abused, women that are homeless, women that are coming out of prison and they have come through nonviolent crimes and mm-hmm. are coming through the system, we'd love for them to come to our facility. The mm-hmm. facility would be called Lion of Judah, Lion of
mm-hmm.
Judah Reach
mm-hmm.
Out Ministry. And
mm-hmm.
that's a prison ministry that we have, as well as a reach out ministry for the local community, local towns, and organizations. And we are a nonprofit 501c3 organization,
mm-hmm.
so that if anyone sends any donations, we don't ask for offerings or anything, but if
mm-hmm.
they want to donate, to us to help us, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
They can receive a tax write-off
mm-hmm.
For their donation.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for, if they have houses that they want to donate, that's
mm-hmm.
fine. If they have a hotel that they want to donate, we'll take that too.
Mm-hmm.
And the women will go into this facility. We're also doing men as well. We're going to have a facility for men. And in that facility, we have a program where people will have to go through the different programs in order for them to graduate
mm-hmm.
and then to be on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are we're also have what you call a store. We're going to have this store. It's already set up. It's called
mm-hmm.
Pretty Wonderful Things,
mm-hmm.
and that's where women can and men can sign in, and it's going to be an online shop
mm-hmm.
where they can come and view the things that we're going to have
mm-hmm.
on for sale.
Right.
And the things that are men can wear, bow ties and belts and other little trinkets.
Right.
And women can also have hairline things and
mm-hmm.
Different personal items that we will be selling. So it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful
mm-hmm.
experience
mm-hmm.
for not only the church, but for those that are in need.
Need to be empowered, yeah.
That's correct.
And to rebuild their self-esteem.
Absolutely.
And also, don't you have need for a grant writer? If there's somebody out there who is an excellent grant writer who can get grants.
Yes, we would be in need of a grant writer. That's correct. who can write grant for us.
And, right, so you're looking for all this money for those buildings, and there's a lot of grant writers out there. So if you want to bless the ministry with your expertise of grant writing,
mm-hmm.
reach out to Pastor Ernestine, because she really can use your help.
Yes, and we can also use those that those individuals that are looking for a church and they want to minister.
Mm-hmm.
We need a keyboard player and an organist, and we need a drummer. So if there's anyone out there that's interested in putting together a choir and an orchestra for us,
mm-hmm.
Certainly we need that help. There are many young girls and women and men that love to sing, but
mm-hmm.
We need responsible people that will
right.
take on this charge and
mm-hmm.
get this orchestra and this band and this choir going for us.
Right. So, whomever is listening, if you have the money and you want to give the money, fine. But she's also looking for skills, talents, and expertise in different areas.
Absolutely.
And we all can invest, and we all should invest in people, because that's the only dividend we will not fall short on.
Mm-hmm.
That is not going to fall. The bottom of that investment will never fall out.
That's correct.
It pays high, extremely high dividend it does pay. So please, I want for you to support my sister and friend. We have 17 minutes remaining in this episode. So for those people who are listening, it might be colleagues or it might be some women who the Lord been nudging them and pushing them, and they got to the front door and they're holding on to the lock. They don't want to let it go to just go out there because they are afraid. What are some encouragements you would like to give them?
Well, the encouragement that I would like to give them is the very simple words that the Lord said, "Fear not."
Mm-hmm.
He said that He's with us always, mm-hmm. even until the very end
yes.
of the world. And so
yes.
there's nothing that anyone should be afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're afraid to go out beyond your town or your city,
mm-hmm.
take the first step.
Yes.
The Lord said that He's with you. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you."
Yes.
He said, "I'm with you always."
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you know that and you believe it,
mm-hmm.
then I would admonish everyone to start, take that step, first step.
Mm-hmm.
And start doing things that you wouldn't normally do.
Right.
As far as going out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus did that. He stepped mm-hmm. out of His comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he lived in heaven.
Exactly.
And He came from heaven to earth.
To earth, to walk here among us.
Absolutely.
And end up sacrificing His life for us.
That's correct.
But you know what hinders a lot of people?
Yes.
It's the fact that they are so hung up on what society is saying and what, this person is saying and that person.
Mm-hmm.
And, there are some people who are still saying that women don't belong in ministry and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about all of that and listen to what God is saying to you, because He's in charge anyhow.
That's correct.
He's the one that creates us for our real purpose and calling. It's not your senior pastor, it's not your elder, it's not the this, it's not the that. The bottom line is God.
That's right. And not only is it God, but people nowadays are looking for a true word.
Mm.
They want to hear nothing but the word of God. It's good
the
to
truth.
Have programs. It's good to have all of that every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to seek the old way. We have to seek the old path.
Mm-hmm.
And that old way, that old path was seeking the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
At all times.
That's
that
right.
was asking Him, what was His will? What is His purpose?
Mm-hmm.
What would You like me to do? How am I to go about certain things that
mm-hmm.
that I would like to do for myself, but also would benefit others?
Give
you
me
know,
clarity, if, Lord, yes.
If you do not seek God in the things that He would have you to do,
mm-hmm.
you'll be spinning around in directions that you don't need to go in.
Exactly.
And
that
so,
is so true.
And so people, women have a lot of clarity as far as what it is they need to do. Mm-hmm. A lot of, like I said, many of us are very orientasked. We can we can multitask in different areas at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in a church, you can have like prayer meeting going on in one room. You can also have counseling going on in the other. You can also have praise and worship going in another.
Mm-hmm.
We have to really get busy about God's business.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, programs are fine. But if you're not focused on what God would have you to do, you're going to be just like the children in wandering around in the wilderness.
Yes, because the one thing I encourage people all at regular times to do is to take some quiet time, because we are so busy.
Mm-hmm.
And Father is talking to us, and he's saying, hello, hello, slow down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
But we are so busy, and we are missing out on important messages and instruction that he's giving us to continue on the path that he has called us to be on. So we have to understand that it's not about us, but it's about him. But if we get our personal goals, if we use that to overshadow what God's calling for our life is all about, then we are going to be chasing our shadow always and not making any progress.
That's right. And that is the very reason I believe a lot of people are now staying home. They're not going to church. They'll turn on the TV or they'll read their Bible, but they're not really reaching out the way they need to reach out according to the Word of God. You must, you know, not forsake the gathering of your brother and sister, because that's where
fellowship.
You get the fellowship. That's where you get your strength from.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you forsake the gathering of the saints that are in the church, you're not going to grow strong.
That's
but
right.
The Bible clearly tells us, too, that we are to meditate on the Word of God, and we should meditate on it night and day. In other words, if we're working or at a workplace, we should at least have the Spirit of God or prayer in our spirit, in our heart, in our mind, as we are working.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we can encourage ourselves, because maybe we're at a job that we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to work at that job. We don't have any other choice.
But there's a reason we are there.
That's exactly right.
The reason. So find out what the reason is
exactly
why you're there and enjoy the moment.
That's exactly right. And that's pretty much what I'm saying. Enjoy the moment. Meditate on the Word of God.
That's
enjoy
right.
the Word of God. Cause that Word of God to encourage you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get caught up in all these things that are happening at
in
at
the next cubicle.
Yeah, please. You don't have time for that. Jesus is soon to come.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Pastor Ernestine, we have 10 minutes remaining. I want to thank you for coming on, and you and I will continue in conversation until Cheryl calls. So why don't you please use these last 10 minutes to just summarize your conversation this morning.
Well, I'm very glad that I had the opportunity to talk a little bit about women in ministry, particularly on my part, what it is, the joy and the fulfillment that I get out of being one, a servant of the Lord, and two, being able to help others, some that are less fortunate than myself and some that are on the other spectrum that are very wealthy and who just need a little bit of guidance as to where their focus should be. And I'm thanking God that he has put me in the right position, in the right place, and with the right people to encourage their heart and to lift them up. And with that said, I'm so grateful that God has given me sons that help me in this ministry and has given me a husband that also works alongside of me. So to God be the glory, and I have people that attend the services that come out to help and just support what it is that God has called us to do. And people that are being part of the Knit to Fit a project, who are knitting and crocheting to help those women that when they leave prison, they have nothing. Some of them have no coats. And so they have these shawls and they have these sweaters and these jumpers that they are knitting and crocheting. And the women that are battered and abused who have no other choice but to leave their husbands and leave the house and now have to live in a shelter. And they have these clothing to wear. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that God has put into my heart to help those and not even look for anything in return. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in doing what God has called me to do and to help people when they come to the church and they need to be healed, set free, and delivered. People are being delivered of cancer, being delivered of all kinds of diseases, and the Lord is healing them, and they're walking out of the church thanking and praising God. And you know, if that's not happening, what is service, what is salvation all about? You tell me.
Amen, 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 amen. You still have 8 minutes, and as I say, we will continue in conversation until Cheryl calls in. She has not called in yet, so we can continue with your summary, your closing thoughts. You can once again give your email contact information. If you have a website, you can give that. Your website is not up yet. I remember that. So why don't you once again give your contact information and the time of service and all of that?
All right. The contact information is Guiding Light Interdenominational Church. I'm Pastor Ernestine Urquhart. The address you can reach me at is Post Office Box 727, Newtown, Connecticut, 06470. The phone number is area code 203-426-4338. My email number is, email address is GodSentU1. It's the number, the letter U, the number 1, at AOL.com. And we worship every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, 11 o'clock till 12:45 at 2 Stony Hill Road in Bethel, Connecticut. That is the Scalzo Building, Century 21 Scalzo Building, the lower level, every Sunday morning. And my closing thought is this, that I hope that what I have spoken about very briefly, and I just touched on just a little bit of what it is that God has called us to do at Guiding Light, that it has been an encouragement to many of those pastors and those individuals who God has called into ministry to be encouraged. Maybe your church has not grown to a large size. Don't worry about that. God will add to the church whom he needs to be attending that church. And be encouraged that this is not the end of and be all of what your ministry is about. God has given you more than just the church. He's given
Amen.
You the entire world you'll be able to glean from and encourage. And he'll use different vehicles which you can use to touch many people. So
you know,
stay encouraged.
You say that, and the one thing that comes to mind, a lot of people sometimes are with small congregations. They're looking that, oh, my congregation is so small. But if I would maybe use you as an example, if they look on the outside of the four walls of their church and look on the size of the people they serve, they have a large population, more than a lot of the mega churches, because if you pull all the prisons together, that the people that you are serving, there is no mega church that has that capacity of people. So it's just an amazing thing when we are obedient to God's calling and just go about living life on his terms and doing what he has called us to do. Even when sometimes we do not get a lot of support and people sometimes think you're crazy, you know, but why you give up your good job working for the rich people to do that? Why you give up your career working at this place and that place with good benefits to do that? But you have to be obedient. When Father calls, you need to answer.
That's right. I mean, Jesus' brothers and sisters said he was crazy. He was beside himself.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, he went out. He extended himself. He invested in people that were poor, that were the lowlifes of society.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was also a prisoner. He was an inmate.
Yes.
So you know what? When you do to the least of those, you do it unto God. Don't worry about what people think
people
and what
say.
They say.
That's right. That's right.
They didn't call you. God did.
God's right. That's right. And we all need to be encouraged and do that, because wanting with people in the beginning, they are not with you. But when everything rises, like when they say, when cream comes to the top, and everybody's going to say, oh, I always know you would be good at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the beginning, you don't have anybody to be alongside you to say, be encouraged, you know, keep strong. They are not there for you then, but you have to know when you are on God's journey and just continue to the end, even when you do not have support.
And that's where your great warriors come from. Your great warriors come from when you're walking alone and when you have no one to encourage you, and you have to encourage yourself. Like I said, when I saw that TV series of the message that I preached, and it didn't seem like it was me. It seemed like it was some other woman. And when the message was over, I was so encouraged. And I said to myself, I will now listen to what it is I'm preaching. I'm telling others, I'm going to use it for myself. So we have to encourage ourselves. If no one else is going to encourage us, encourage ourselves.
That's
right. David wrote that when he read the Word of God, that he was refreshed, he was strengthened. And that's what we have to do. We have to read the Word of God to encourage ourselves. And to say to ourselves, I know that God called me. I know that God told me to do this. I'm going to do it. If no one else believes that God has called you, listen, it doesn't matter.
That's
because
right.
When you stand before the Lord, he's going to say, what did you do? Did you do what I told you to do? Well, no,
that's
you
right.
say I didn't do it because, well, because people said that they didn't feel that I was called, and because, you know, I didn't get the results. Well, what did I tell you to
tell
do?
Tell you to do.
Absolutely.
That's the bottom line. Who are you listening to?
That's correct.
Who is in total control? You know?
That's right.
It was an amazing time. I hope that the word that you have spoken this morning, that someone, not only who is listening live, but someone who is will listen to this on the archive later on, will find some solace and our solitude, and you know, can embrace these words and said, you know, I'm going to be obedient to God's call, and I'm going to do what I am called to do. I want to encourage you to continue God's work, and you are a role model and encouragement to me. And your commitment and the devotion that you put into other people and giving back to your community and everything. You know, I am thankful to know you and to have you as a role model in my life, and can say, hey, here's a woman who is doing a lot of wonderful things. So I just want to thank you again for being on the show this morning. I'm still waiting on Cheryl to call in. Cheryl, if you're listening, you need to call 646-915-8166. Of course, you know, she lives in California, so it's still the wee hours of the morning out there. So we are waiting to to get Sister CEO on the line. So if anybody's listening, just call Cheryl and let her know to call in, please. And if anybody is on the phone, want to call in now and just let us discuss about anything you heard Pastor Ernestine mention, she is still on the line, so you can still call in for her. So I'm going to...
I wanted to know if I could offer prayer for...
Oh, yes. Go ahead. Go ahead. Do the prayer. I'm going to get the chat room up, and we're waiting on Cheryl to call in. So Please, of course, go ahead.
Thank you. Father God, Lord, I thank you for this day, for truly this is the day that you have made, God, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. God, I ask that you touch the listeners on this morning, God, that is hearing this talk show, God, a new day. Father God, we're asking you to touch their lives, those women and those men and those teens, God, that are a little discouraged. They are a little, Father, confused as to what it is they should do now, God. Lord, we ask that you speak to their hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, we ask that you lead them and guide them, make them to know what it is that you have for them to do, Father God. Lord, we ask that you encourage their spirit, encourage their hearts, Father God. Lift them up in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, let them know, Father God, that you have not failed them, God, and that you have heard their prayer. You've heard their cry, Father God, that even though that it seems as though there's no answer, God, it doesn't mean that you have denied their request, Father God. Oh, Father God, we ask, Lord, that as they are listening, Father God, we ask, God, that you send laborers, Father God, that will help them. Help them with the mission that you have called them to do. If they're walking alone, God, and they need help, we ask, God, that you send laborers. Knit their hearts together with the leaders, God, in the name of Jesus, where they're on the same page and they're focused, Father God, in what it is that you would have them to do. And, God, we ask that you bring success in Jesus' name in the lives and in the purpose of what they're doing, Father God. Bring success as a result, God, of them being obedient to what you've told them to do. Father God, we ask this and all other blessings in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that you're able. We know that nothing is too difficult for you. And we ask, Father God, confirm, God, what it is that you have chosen them, your people, your servants to do. Confirm it, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And this way, Father God, they'll know. They'll know that they are in the right place at the right time, doing what you have called them to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we ask, God, where there's finances that is needed, we ask, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you bring finances to their hand. Even if it's unexpected, God, bring it in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we ask that you cause that money that is given to them to be stretched, God, and to be used in the areas where there's the need. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and it shall be done. Amen and amen.
Amen. I want to thank you so much for that prayer. And I know that it is needed in a lot of our lives and that God is faithful in answering prayer. And I hope you can hang around to listen to Sister CEO Cheryl Burchard.
I'm here.
Good morning.
How are you? I'm fantastic. Thank you.
Okay. We just... Pastor Ernestine held the fort on for you, and she answered a prayer. She sent a prayer up for all the listeners while we were waiting on you to call in. So,
oh, great.
Excuse me. I know it's the wee hours of the morning out there in California.
Yes.
And we are having a beautiful snowy morning in Connecticut. So,
oh, really?
I know you don't envy us, but we probably envy you.
Well, let me tell you, it's actually kind of cold here. It's like in the 30s.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you all got to experience a little something now and then.
That's right. So we don't mind. It's okay.
Okay. All right. Seeing that Pastor Ernestine Urquhart is still on the phone, I want to go ahead and introduce you both. Cheryl, would you meet Ernestine and Ernestine meet Cheryl?
Hello, nice to meet you. God bless you.
And God bless you as well.
Thank you.
You know, I hope you both get to know each other because I'm sure you both can add value to whatever you both are doing. So,
amen. Mm-hmm.
All right. Cheryl, will you? This is your second time on the show, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good, good. Because I was thinking and I was too lazy to go back to my archives. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, please, for the people who have not heard you before.
Okay.
And then we are going to be talking about your new book.
Yes, yes.
All of that. But just introduce yourself to them first, please. Give them a little track record about you and why they need to tie into what you're doing and all of that good stuff.
Okay. First of all, I'm Cheryl Broussard, and I've been around for quite a long time doing financial advising. And I've written 7 books. I can't believe I'm actually saying that. 7 books. And all related on money and starting your own business. And so I've been an advocate of people having financial freedom and being able to start their own businesses. And so that's been my mission and my purpose for the last 25 years. And I think today my message is probably more important than ever, considering what the economy is doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
We have some of the books up on the blog, but would you go ahead and like tell them about the first book leading up? Just tell them so they know what to be stocking up in their library and when they go, what they're going to be going to look for.
Okay. The first book that I wrote or the latest one?
Yeah, we're going to spend majority of the time talking about the latest one, but
okay.
Let's mention the others to them, please.
The first one that I wrote was called The Black Woman's Guide to Financial Independence. And that book was written, I can't believe it was 1992.
Wow.
And I know, a long time ago.
Where has the years gone? Yep.
I know. And then the second one, and that one was, of course, is about how to take charge of your money, you know, to gain financial freedom. Mm-hmm. The second book I wrote was called Sister CEO. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that probably many people have heard about because that one was pretty popular. It was called Sister CEO, the Black Woman's Guide to Starting Your Own Business. And, of course, again, that book was written in 1997.
Wow.
So I know my books, those are the first two, but they were my favorite two that I have written. And Sister CEO really was about, you know, starting your own business, what it takes. I kind of gave you a roadmap, a blueprint. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went step by step. Plus, I had stories in there of all these different women who had started their own businesses, and they gave their advice to what to do, what not to do. And it's still a pretty popular book. I met a lady, I was at a holiday Christmas party last week, and she said, I just bought Sister CEO a couple of months ago, and I've read the whole thing twice.
Wonderful.
So it's
wonderful.
Still available, and people still are reading it. And it's because it does really, the information pertains to today as well, even though it was written quite a few years ago.
That's right. Because if you do not have the information or the skill set of what the book is talking about, it's not old information for you.
Mm-mm.
Because you have to start at the beginning. So it's good when they get all the other books, but because of your teachings, I strongly feel that people need to read all of your books and step up, because it is like you enter kindergarten, then you go to middle school, high school, college, and everything like that. So you need to have things in perspective.
Yes, I agree with you. And I think for so many of us, the problem in our country is that we haven't really been taught about how to manage our money or how to grow our money and how to build wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of right. It's almost like we are in kindergarten, many of
That's
us.
That's right.
You know, because no one's really sat down and said, here's how you do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why so many of us are in trouble today, because we haven't had that knowledge.
Exactly, especially as women, because, you know, how often you see women who
been married for many years, and they don't have a checkbook for themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't understand what it's all about. And then all of a sudden, something happens with that relationship, and they now becomes an individual, and they're standing in the middle of the street, don't know if they can go left, right, or backward or forward, because they had lost their identity mm-hmm. and who they are and who they were in that relationship.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, yeah. One of the things, one of my products I have is an audio CD, and you can see it on my site. It's called A Man Is Not a Financial Plan.
That's right. I love that. You know? I love that so much, and we need to get that clear.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we're not looking to mess up anybody's relationship.
No.
But we are just telling them to empower yourself while you're in that relationship. It's only going to add to it. It's not going to take away from it. Don't throw up your hands and say, honey, oh, you go ahead and you do it.
No.
Let us do it together, lady.
Exactly. I tell people all the time, particularly couples and people who are just getting ready to get married, that you have to look at your marriage, and people don't want to hear me say this, but there's a aspect of it that's very much like a business.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're a partnership, you know,
that's
and you
right.
have to, you're a team. You have to look at yourself as, we are a team. We're going
right.
to come together. We've got these certain goals that we want to accomplish in our relationship, in our lifetime, whether it's to buy a house or to send our children to a college, or if it's retirement, whatever those goals are, you all want to work on them together.
That's right.
And I think the problem is why so many of our relationships are breaking up is that we're not coming into marriages as a real partnership and as a real team. And when you don't have that, it's easy to just go like, well, you know, once something starts to happen, you know, there's a little bit of friction in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden, if you're not that team, you go like, oh, well, whatever, you know, I'm out of here.
Exactly.
I'm gone.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right. So unless you have to change your entire mindset
mm-hmm.
about money, how you relate to your money, how you relate to your money in your relationships. Today, it's a whole new economy. It's a brand new world.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't start making changes, Daphne, we are going to be in so much trouble,
that's
particularly
right.
the black community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much for like setting that that groundwork. So let's talk about the new book.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the new book. It's called Starting Over, Fast Cash and Getting Back on Financial Track. And I wrote this book for many reasons, not for myself and as well as other people, because I think what was happening, I feel like a lot of people were feeling like they had to start over again
mm-hmm.
in their finances, and they needed a way to find out, how do I create some money right away, because I'm, you know, I either have experienced a job loss, or I may have gone through a bankruptcy or a foreclosure, or something has happened, or you've lost money in your retirement account and you feel like you don't have as much money, and you think, you know. So I wrote this book with directions for people to get back on financial track during this really economic turmoil that we're in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's easy read. It's, you know, it's not a big book, so it's not a lot of complicated terminology in there, but it's step-by-step direction on ways that you can start to make money immediately. I show you a way how you could start to make immediately, you could get cash, like within $100 to $500 by having a business on the Internet. And it's not a network marketing company, and I love network marketing companies, but it's not that. It's, you know, it's a different way of making money on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And you could start a quick business, and you can start to bring in money quickly. So that's one of the things I show you. And then I show you how to kind of get back on track, things that you need to start doing today so that you're prepared for these next few years while we're going through this tumultuous, you know, economic downturn. And believe me, Daphne, we're not over. You're going to see more foreclosures, you're going to see more bankruptcies, you're going to see more job losses. As a matter of fact, I was talking to an economist that I know, and he said to me that this is going to be a jobless recovery, which means that there is not going to be a lot of new jobs being created.
So entrepreneurship will be on the rise.
Yes, that is the key.
Because that's where, you know, I see an entrepreneur is going to be contributing maybe 95%
yes.
of the recovery of this economy back.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. I agree.
You know,
this entrepreneur, right?
Yes. Entrepreneur, this is our time,
mm-hmm.
and this is the time of joint ventures. We
yes.
we don't need to be lone rangers. We need to get involved in joint ventures and lift each other up.
Yes. Have you noticed that the bigger companies are doing that?
Exactly. Look at how many companies are merging.
Yes.
And joint ventures is the new merge
that is
for
the new
entrepreneurs.
Merge. Yes. Yes. You can't do it by yourself anymore. It's too hard. The global, you know what? The problem is the competition is so fierce because not only do you have domestic competition, but you've got global competition.
Global. Yes. Yes.
Global.
You know, I was thinking, I think day before yesterday, I was talking with someone about joint ventures and all of that. And I said, you know something? Right here in the middle of our conversation, I just retracted home in Jamaica as a child growing up. And I said, my father was a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And they were involved in joint venture. And she said to me, what do you mean? I said, all the farmers in the district, they never paid for manpower. They work each other's farm alternatively.
Wow.
So this week, if it is time to prepare my father's land for farming, all the men would work on his farm. And next week, they work on somebody else's. And the other, they work on somebody else's. Because, Cheryl, these men were tilling the soil manually.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have tractors. So they pooled their resources
mm-hmm.
to get the work done.
Yes.
And I said, that's where I learned networking from. And I said, my God, how come I missed out on the joint venture piece of it? Because for years, Cheryl, I've been doing things by myself.
Yes.
You know,
I unfortunately, I think that here in America, that's how we're taught. We're taught, you know, I think a long time ago. We were taught to be, you're the lone ranger. You do it on your own. You pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You don't need other people. And I think that's why you and me both, I feel the same way. When I was started my own business, I was by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And but that limits you. You don't grow as much when you're by yourself because there's only so many hours in the day.
Exactly.
And you can't do everything. So until you've got a partner or a team of people that are helping you or you're joint venturing and you're,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're sharing your resources and you're you know, you're pulling them together, you're not going to be able to make it in a big way. You can you know, you can be in business, but you won't make a lot of money.
Yeah, and it's still going to be hand-to-mouth
yes.
kind of situation.
Yes.
And this is why I am so thankful to God for I used to do traditional radio,
mm-hmm.
and it was a very expensive proposition. It was very expensive to do the traditional radio.
Okay.
And to be honest, my bills started piling up in that arena because I did not have sponsorship because my radio show was on a gospel station and a lot of people did not want to invest in sponsorship dollars in the gospel station.
Okay.
So I had to stop doing that show by force. And
mm-hmm.
then it was the week after I stopped that, I was speaking with a colleague in New York, and he said to me, I need you to listen to my radio show. And I said, interesting. It's 2 weeks ago I stopped my radio show. I put it on hold for now, and I explained to him why.
And he said to me, but why don't you do what I do? I said, well, what do you do? He said, blog talk. I said, what's that? Never heard about it.
Ah.
And it's the best thing I've ever done. It doesn't limit me, Cheryl. There were many people when I was in traditional radio that I wanted as guests on my show.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were not local,
mm-hmm.
I could not access them. And they did not want to invest in the telephone call to call a long distance call to speak. And now I've had guests from Australia, Scotland, Bahamas,
wow.
all over the world. And people are listening and calling in from all over the world. So I just want to thank God for putting me here to find this way. It's a way that I can expand on my joint venture efforts mm-hmm. and all of that stuff.
And let me just piggyback on that, because what you have just said is what I'm talking about in my new book. The thing today is that because of the internet, it has now allowed us to be able to share our voices, our mm-hmm. pictures, our everything with mm-hmm. people all over the world. So mm-hmm. today, your marketplace is really the world. You literally could have a client over any in Australia or in London. You could be selling them your products, your services mm-hmm. to people over in those other countries, and even though you're here in your home in Connecticut or in
that's
California.
Right.
And
right.
so that's why this is so important, that we begin to understand how to use the internet to be able to start an internet business and to share our voices so that people can hear it all over. I mean, this is what's so fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
This new technology is allowing us. Oh, I mean, think about it, Daphne. You could write a book, and
mm-hmm.
you could sell your book on ClickBank to
mm-hmm.
anybody in the world.
And this is what I'm looking to do now, Cheryl, because I'm telling you, I joined Twitter. I forgot when I signed up for Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not sold one penny on Twitter, because I was building relationship, and I have been, you know,
mm-hmm.
supplying tweets and investing in people's lives.
Right.
And now I have in excess of 10,000 followers on Twitter.
Oh my
goodness!
So now
I'm saying, if I can utilize
yes
my social media to expand my business,
yes,
you know, I
yeah.
can sell these people something. And now, for how many months I have been investing, empowering and motivational tweets to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're not going to want to do business with me?
No, they will absolutely want to, because you have built that great relationship with
exactly.
them.
Exactly. And
yeah.
that's what people need to do, understand. People say, oh, I don't want to go on this because people doing this, they're tweeting this and they're tweeting that. I said, that's not your business. What are you there for? Are you there to add value?
Exactly.
And if you're there to add value to somebody else's life, if somebody is not on the same mission with you, they don't have the same vision,
mm-hmm.
you don't need to associate with them. You select who you associate yourself with.
That is correct. That's right. That's
so
right.
I said this book, Cheryl, is an on-time material.
Yeah.
It is well needed now, because the internet is the place where I was talking with someone in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and the man has made millions and millions and millions of dollars on the internet.
Mm.
So
yeah.
we need to learn how to do that so we can enhance our lives.
Exactly, right. And I think today, I think for most of us, it's about having time freedom. That's why I think the internet is a great, I call it a lifestyle business,
mm-hmm.
because it gives you time freedom. It gives you, you know,
yes.
you can be at your home. You can actually, you don't even need to be at home. You can live anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world.
And you can still have your business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what, you know, people are looking today. If you're looking for more time freedom in your life and you want to make that big change, then you need to look at becoming an entrepreneur and
mm-hmm.
look at starting a business online.
Yeah, because
It's last week I had this guy on, Jeff Mills. Mm-hmm. He used to be a youth minister. Now he's a millionaire doing online businesses. And he was on my show sharing with my listeners how to triple your time off while doubling your income.
There you go.
And who does not want to triple the time off?
Exactly.
And if you can do that and your income still double, hello.
That's right.
Let's get busy.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So when is the book going to be out?
The book will be out the end of this month. Right now, you can get it as a ebook, but it's going to be a soft cover book as well. But that won't happen until the end of December.
December, and we want to say 2009 because you know this. The show is going to be in archive.
Okay, so 2009.
So people who are going to be listening it next year, they want to know that the book will be already be in the stores to do that. Yes,
in the stores, and of course it'll always be online and Amazon and all those places.
Yes,
and I think in fact I'm going to be the book will be mentioned in the February edition of Black Enterprise Magazine, which comes out the end of January.
That's good. That's heavy rolling, my sister.
Yeah.
That's heavy rolling there. You see? I told you, sister CEO only roll with the heavy guys. Yes.
That's what you have to do today. You have to get out there. And that's all a part of being an entrepreneur. You know, it's about marketing. Mm-hmm. And you know that, Daphne. You're a good marketer. You're always out there marketing.
Lord, I'm always out there doing something because I have to tell the listeners that you and I met back at the first FraserNet conference.
Yes.
When you had that first book. And I do not like the back seat in any place I go. So I always turn up for the workshops early.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I came, and then you were going to be presenting with what's his name from Washington? With the bow tie, I forget his name.
Calvin Boston. Yeah.
And I came, and Calvin wasn't there yet, and you were setting up the room, and I said, "Well, why don't I help you?" And I started help you putting out the stuff you were putting out, and. And then we just develop a relationship.
Exactly.
And, you know, although we don't always see each other in person, but the internet has afforded us to be closely connected. So
when you
go out, you know, reach out to somebody because you never know what will happen there.
Absolutely. And you should stay in contact with people because look how long it's been. I mean, that's we're talking about, what, a good, what, 10 years?
Yes.
I'm sure it's been at least 10 years.
At least 10 years, I'm telling you, because that was when the conference was in Cleveland, and
right.
We have now then moved to Atlanta, but this has been many years, and Calvin and I, too, we still keep in touch online, and I haven't seen him at the conference for a few years, but we still keep in touch online, and it is an amazing thing. We never know what God has planned for us, but we have to keep the relationships connected.
Exactly.
And how the ebook is, you said the ebook is up. How can people access that now?
Okay. Now, did you get your link?
I have not gotten my link.
Didn't get
and
your
she,
link
she
yet.
Didn't give it to you either?
Oh, my goodness. No. I thought for sure you had it.
Oh, no.
Okay.
She didn't send it, so I don't know what's
so
up.
I'm sorry.
Let
All
me
right.
explain to the listeners what that is about. Cheryl and I have a partnership because you hear we talking about partnerships. So her products will be on a link on my website and mine will be on hers and all of that. And that's what we're talking about with joint ventures and all of that. So
exactly.
Her secretary should have sent me a link and I don't know what email she sent it to, but I didn't get it. So but there's water under the bridge right now. So let's...
Yeah. So we'll make sure that happens. But for people who want to get it, it's a long, kind of a long link, but it's you go www.CherylBroussard, C-H-E-R-Y-L, brossard.com/by-starting-over.html. So it's cherylbroussard.com/by-starting-over.html.
Okay.
All right. So
that's all right. And when I get my link, I will put it up there. And if people want to maybe put a comments in there that they're calling from the show, that's where they're buying from or something, that would help us out.
Yeah.
Okay. So
absolutely.
Let's continue about that. You want to highlight any special section?
Well,
I don't know if you have any transcript or anything there with you that you want to
tell
people what to watch over.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the chapters that I have in the book are, I talk about, you know, what it takes right now to start over. It really starts from the inside. And what I mean from that is, it's really about changing your mindset today. It is a different, I call it a different ball game. It's a new economy. We're never going to go back to the way the world used to be. You're not going to find people working in companies for 30 years and retiring at the end with a nice gold watch and a retirement party. Those days are gone. What you're going to find, Daphne, is that a lot of jobs, and I want people to really listen to this, a lot of jobs are going to be getting outsourced.
That's right. It is already happening.
It's already that's why this economist said it's going to be a job recovery. Because a lot of the jobs are going to be being outsourced, and the kind of jobs are, let me tell you the kind of jobs that are outsourced. Engineers, software engineers, lawyers, this is hard to believe this, but attorneys.
Really? Wow.
Yes. In fact, one of my good friends, his wife, who lives in Orange County, which is Southern California, working for a law firm 15 years, got laid off 2 weeks ago. Yes, and was making tons of money. And the reason what happened, he said, was that they got a new guy that came in, looked at how much money she made, and said, hey, we could get two people.
In the Philippines for that.
Exactly.
Annually for that.
Doing what, or three people in India or somewhere
four
else.
People.
Four people. Doing what she's doing for the amount of money that she can make. Isn't that amazing? The other thing is, surprisingly, even things like physicians, like research, all that kind of stuff, scientists, that's being outsourced. So,
and the people who they are hiring, some have bachelor's and some have master's, but whatever the American companies are paying them is still better than the salaries that they make in their countries.
Yes,
with
it is.
With those degrees.
Exactly. So that's why I really want, I talk a little bit, a lot about that, how it's important that we really look at what the world is doing today. We can't put our head in the sand and go, oh, we wanted to go back to like it used to be. It's not going to go back.
And then in the other, it's not supposed to go back that way because that shows that we are stagnant.
Exactly.
And I think that people with that mindset are people who are settling for mediocrity.
That's correct.
If we are looking to expand and develop, change is constant.
Yes, it is.
And we need to accept that.
Yes, right. And I think a lot of us don't want to, but now we have to. We're being forced to. So you really do have to look at your life, and if it means getting new skills, maybe you need to go back to school for, maybe not full time, but if there's some new skill that you need to learn, or maybe take a few classes.
That's
right,
and you can do it on the computer. I'm going to school now, finishing my psychology degree at 3 o'clock at night. I'm on the computer doing my schoolwork.
Oh my goodness, congratulations.
Thank you.
See, there you go.
So
and,
what you have to do.
Yeah, and I'm hearing that many people are doing the online school. So
I love it. I didn't know I would love it as much as I do. Oh, but it is so comfortable. on confidence.
Great. So see, you're going to have a psychology degree. Now
yes,
you're going to be able to take that that knowledge and do something else with it. You know,
exactly. Because my long range goal is to have a personal development institute, and even to write textbooks on personal development.
That's fantastic.
So, I want to go all the way, and I know that's what God wants me to do. So I said, hey, let me prepare myself.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Thank you.
The other area that I talk about in the book is about keeping, really looking at your cash flow that's mm-hmm. coming in and out. Today, you really got to get clear about how much money is going out and how much money is coming in. Mm-hmm. And you have to look at your spending plan, look at your statements, all of that. You can't just ignore that any longer because you really need to know where your money is going. Because if you don't know, you're not able to make that money work for you.
That's right.
So making sure that you're spending time with, and again, if you're married or, you know, you're with a spouse or you're with a significant other, you both are living together, you both need to do it jointly. So you
That's
each are
right.
on the same
That's
financial
right.
page
mm-hmm.
and you know what you're doing. We talked about starting your own business. There's a huge chapter in there. I give you a couple of business models
mm-hmm.
that you could start right now on the Internet and start your own business. And I show you step by step on things that you can start to do to create some money right away.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Daphne, you and I, you know, we probably should have another conversation
mm-hmm.
because I know that there's things that you could be doing too,
mm-hmm.
You know, to bring in, to monetize your social contacts that you have now made.
Yes, so we definitely need to have that conversation.
Absolutely. The other thing too for people that people need to really start looking at is starting to invest their money. See, here's the thing: the new philosophy. It used to be, you go to work, you spend money. You go to work, you spend money. The new philosophy today is, go to work, you earn money, you spend money, but you also add, there's two more components: you save money and you invest money.
Mm-hmm.
See, before we were just like, you know, we just go to the store. Oh, just buy whatever we want to. You know, we
mm-hmm.
weren't really thinking about it. But
mm-hmm.
now you got to think of, you got to add in investing and you got to add in savings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you, the investing part, I consider investing in your own business as investing. Because when you go back and you look at the very wealthy people, the majority of them have made their money from their business.
Mm-hmm.
Most of their money came from their own business.
Mm-hmm.
They may have started a business, and they either, you know, made a lot of money while they were in their business, or they may have sold it. They had an
build
exit
it
strategy.
And sold it.
They built it and they sold it, and they, you know, were making, you know, they may have made $10 or $15 million once they sold it.
You know, Cheryl, I want to piggyback on something you said. Pepper Miller was on the show a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh,
and
really?
Wow. And when Pepper quoted that the money that we blacks spend was larger than the stimulus package that President Obama had,
mm-hmm.
I was floored.
Yes.
Because there is so much money that comes in the black community, but it doesn't stay, it goes out.
It just goes out, and
exactly.
we don't build it.
The money is, the amount of money that black people spend is larger than the stimulus package that
mm-hmm.
the president has.
Yes, yeah,
you know?
That's true. Yeah, see, here again, it goes back to the fact we haven't been taught how to really build our wealth. We, you know, but think about it. Our parents, like you were talking about your father, you know, and how he, you know, he was a farmer and what he did. Our parents and our grandparents, they understood more about money and more about, well, first of all, they didn't have a lot.
They
had to manage it better.
Because my parents did not have a bank account, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I remember growing up,
That my mother died when I was 13 years old.
Okay.
But I remember growing up, there were certain cows, pigs, and goats that were being raised, and they were reproducing. So they were having young ones and all of that. And those special animals, they were the ones that would be sold.
Yes.
And the money was supposed to send me to England to go to nursing school.
Oh, my goodness.
So every pig and every baby cow and baby goat that would born in that lineage. Oh, because my name was Sweetie, that's what they call me as a child. Oh, that's for Sweetie. It came from Sweetie's goat or Sweetie's pig. The money, when they sell the older one, when they sold the older animal from that,
uh-huh.
The money would go under the mattress, and nobody would touch that money.
Really? Wow.
They were disciplined that way.
Yes.
And managed the money. Now we cannot even keep the money in the bank.
No. And a lot of it is not our fault, because we're constantly bombarded
with commercials.
Exactly. Messages. Buy this. Buy that.
What we were talking about.
Yep. It's today, you know, they used to say, I think they said before, the number is like, it's some crazy number. It's like we're seeing something like 10,000
images
a day.
And people who sit and keep flicking the channel, channels going from one to another, and they sit in front of those TVs and everything.
And the internet. Look at all
the internet.
All the ads on the internet today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, or the billboards when you're driving or you're on the subway. I mean, even in the subway stations, you got billboards everywhere. So you're constantly bombarded with. And you know what? Here's the thing, too, that I think people need to, that I have come to understand is that what society, what this country, what they try to do is make you unsatisfied with something so that you will buy it. So they will tell women, oh, your teeth are not white enough, because if you don't have white enough teeth, then that means you're not going to find a man. Okay, or if you're not wearing the right kind of shoes, you know, you're not going to be able to go to this party. So they're always trying to make you feel unsatisfied. And this is where your psychology comes in.
Yeah, they're letting them feel less than, and you feel to meet up the Joneses, because the Joneses are also very important to people who don't understand their personal values.
Yes.
And they figure, well, hey, I got to go out and I got to put this on the charge card because I got to meet up to Dick, Tom, and Harry, as I used to hear people refer to as the Joneses, where it's not that.
Mm-mm.
You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. I have some pocketbooks that I'm selling, and she said, oh, when I showed the pocketbooks to her, she's telling me, they're not knockoffs. I said, no, and I have no interest in knockoff, because I said, guess what? I'm an entrepreneur, and I said, I don't want people start knocking off my books, my CDs, and my DVDs.
That's right.
So I said, you know, I know that what goes around come around, and I said, these are nice pocketbooks that made for women.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to have anybody's name on it that really did not manufacture them.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, exactly. Isn't that amazing that she said they're not knockoffs?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, see, what does that tell you? What does that tell you?
Exactly.
We want to see the problem, and that's the other thing. They're always comparing everybody to the celebrities.
That's right.
You know, we all want to be what we want to wear, what the celebrities have. We want to buy what they have. We want to have the same purses and the same shoes and the same clothes, you know. And so, therefore, we're always feeling like, oh, I'm not satisfied. I got to go get the Coach bag or the Louis Vuitton bag, and if I can't afford the real one, I get the knockoff.
That's right. And you know, ask yourself the question: is it about your pocketbook, or it's about your inside.
Exactly.
Because a lot of those people, Cheryl, don't even have a library card where they could probably go to the library and borrow your book and read it.
No.
And renew it until they read it enough.
No.
They don't have the library card to do that. And neither are they going to go into the bookstore to buy it. But they're going to spend maybe $1,000 on a designer pocketbook.
Yeah.
And God bless the people who have the creativity to design those pocketbooks. But I'm telling people, invest in yourself and be creative to designing something for yourself.
That's right. You should have your own designer handbag.
That's right.
Excuse me. Exactly.
You know, it's just amazing. It is just so amazing. And, you know, I have not traveled much to a lot of other countries. But I don't know that it is that way in other countries, or it's just an American way of life. I don't know.
I have traveled to many countries, and it is, it's not like that in the other countries. It's very,
it's us,
in America. It's here in America.
Yeah, we just like stuff. I don't want anybody to think that I don't like things too. I like clothes, and I like my shoes and my purses. But trust me, I'm not paying a lot. I watch the sales rack, and I go to the thrift shop, and you can get some nice stuff in the thrift shop, especially if you're small.
Oh, yeah.
And if you go in the right areas to shop, you get the things that the eloquent and the affluent people forgot that they had in the closet, so they took it to the store with the tags on it.
Yeah.
And that's your blessing for a lot less than what they pay for it. So let us be smart come 2010.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to be smart.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I'm not saying don't buy, you know, don't enjoy your life and have the things that you want. But you don't need to have 100 pair of shoes. You know what I mean? You don't need...
Oh, Cheryl, you've got to take me to therapy on the shoe stuff.
Uh-oh. Well, you know what? I've got a lot, too, but I don't have 100 pair, but I do have a lot.
Saying on the ear how many I have. You all will have to squeeze that one out of me.
Well, you know what? We all have one, probably one thing or one vice that we, you know, we like purses or shoes or something, and... So if you just maybe do one thing and not a whole lot of other things, that's probably okay. But here's the key. Remember I said earlier, you go to work, you earn your money, you do spend money, but you also save and you also invest. So what I'm saying is, okay, great, go buy your nice things, but don't forget to add money to those other two categories where you're saving some money and you're also investing it to build more wealth. Because for me, when I think about wealthy to me means making money while you sleep.
Exactly.
24/7, you're making money. It doesn't matter.
I wanted to tell the listeners, too, this show is for me as well. Because I am nowhere close to what Cheryl is talking about. So when I have these guests, these experts on my show, it is more for me than it is for you guys. So don't feel as if I'm beating up on you. This is more for me than it is for you. But I'm telling you, 3 years down the road, I'm going to be having a powerful testimony because I'm going to be implementing all the things that the experts that come on this show are telling me.
And you know what? For even the experts, believe me, we all feel the same way. We all are, when we do these talks and we get on and talk to people, it's for us too, because we need to learn new things as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're always constantly, you know, going to workshops and seminars and listening to teleseminars on the phone. Because we're constantly trying to learn new things to better ourselves as well.
And invest in who we are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And wealthy people, they never stop learning.
Oh,
They invest in themselves, you know, constantly. So I want everyone to realize that, you know, just because you get to a certain place in life, it doesn't mean you stop. Right.
That's right.
You don't stop. You keep going.
That's right. Cheryl, we only have 9 minutes remaining.
Mm-hmm.
So would you like give the listeners some closing thoughts and some highlights, how you want them to structure themselves, position themselves for a restart and a launch come 2010. And I said that, and I think that's what I probably need to make my last show for the end of the year be. Mm-hmm. Position yourself for a relaunch.
I love that.
And then I could have a panel on which would probably include you as well.
Yes.
And some other people. I think I'm going to call a few people, Cheryl. So I think that show is going to be on the 31st.
That is
so
a great
pencil
show.
That in. I love that. I love
positioning
for a relaunch.
Yes. I love that. That is so important. Yes, that's what we should do.
Thank
I think
the
Holy
Spirit, I'm telling you. That was not me. That was the Holy Spirit.
That's what happens. That's what happens. This is, you know, I look at what we're doing right now is almost like masterminding. And I know you've heard of masterminding.
Oh, yes. That's another powerful thing. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Napoleon Hill in the book Think and Grow Rich. And I would recommend anyone,
if you
haven't read that book, to read that book. That might be a good book in addition to my book to read before 2010, because it will get your mind in the right place. And one of the things he talked about is masterminding. And so when you start to mastermind with people, he calls it a third mind comes into play. And it could be God, spirit, but there's this third mind. And that's where you begin to get these new ideas. And that's where this came from. This came from your positioning yourself for relaunch in 2010. That's where that came from.
Yeah,
so,
I love that.
I know. I love
I'm
it.
Telling
I love
you,
it.
Lord, I'm getting the chills.
Okay, so the first thing I want people to do is I want people to assess where they are today. Where are they? Don't go into 2010 until you know absolutely how much, what you've got. You've got how many credit cards do you have? How much do you owe? How much do you have in your savings account? How much do you have in your retirement fund? I want you to look at your money. I want you to assess it. I want you to take out all your credit card statements, everything relating to money, your insurance, everything, and look at it. Where am I today, and what do I need to do moving forward? The second thing I want you to do is I want you to write down all the goals that you want, the dreams and the goals that you want to achieve in 2010. What are those things that you want? Maybe it's start your own business. When do you want to start that? I want you to put a deadline. I want to start my business February 1st, 2010. What else do you want to do for the year? I want to make sure that I have enough money to send my son to or daughter to to school. Okay, well, how much money is that going to take? I'm going to need $3,000. Okay, put that down. And when do you need it by and how much? So I want you to write down the goal. I want you to write down the amount of money it's going to take to get to that goal, and then I want you to put a date when you would like to achieve that goal. So that's the second thing. I want you to have a goal. See,
not New Year's resolution.
No, yeah, this is not a New Year's resolution.
No.
We're talking about moving 2010. You're going to make a significant change in your life.
Right.
You're going to change your life for the better. You're going to start to do the things that you want to do. You're going to start to live the lifestyle that you want to live. You're going to have live the dreams that you want. But that only happens when you have a plan.
That's right.
You've got to know exactly what it is. Too many of us, Daphne, we don't know what we want.
Exactly. We keep going around in circles.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, Cheryl, God birthed in me a vision conference. And I'm going to be doing that vision conference on the 18th of February through the 21st. And I wanted to get it in January, but they didn't have the hotel available when the Lord put it in my spirit. And that's what it's going to do, because a lot of people keep doing goals and they have no understanding about their vision.
Yes.
And in order to accomplish goals, you have to have a clear picture.
Yes.
Vision of what it's all about in order to get all of those things.
Yes, you absolutely have to. You have to see it. yeah.
in your
feet,
mind.
Feel it, taste it, everything.
Yes.
Smell it.
Smell it.
yeah.
Yes.
You know, I used to have a neighbor with a little kindergarten kid. And every time the boy would come home, he would say to his mommy, he calls me Dee. He said, Ma, Dee was here today. And the mom always look at him and say, well, how do you know? He said, I smell her perfume. and I took a lesson out of that. That's how we need to be with our vision.
Yeah.
We got to smell it, taste it, feel it.
See
you
it.
Know, rubbing shoulders with you. We got to cuddle it. We got to embrace it and feel the vibration of that. Because until we can do that, we are not going to achieve the goals.
That is correct. One of the things that every time that I write a book, before I write the book, I always make up a mock cover of what the book will look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it in front of me. I post it like on a bulletin board in front of my computer where mm-hmm. at my desk. So I have the title of the book,
mm-hmm.
and I have everything. I have a picture. I'll make up some picture of whatever I think I want it to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I focus on that, and that keeps me writing all the time.
Yeah,
that's why I think I've written 7 books because
right.
I do that with
just
every
flow.
Book.
It helps the creativity.
Exactly.
Well, Cheryl, my girl, we are to the end. But I'm going to email you. We need to get into conversation about my monetizing. My radio show and everything else.
Yes.
And all the other stuff. But I'm going to send you an email. I'm going to see if I can get certain people here on that show positioning for relaunch in 2010.
Yeah.
And I think I have the 30th, I think I have. I'm going to shoot you an email later, but pencil it in for now because I need you to be on that panel as well.
I will definitely be there, so you just
and
let me
yes,
know.
I'm going to let you know I have a powerful group of people. I'm going to send the email out immediately as I get off here.
And isn't this fantastic? Look at this. Now, what if I decide to go someplace, like, you know, if I go to Paris or something for New Year's Eve, I could still be on the phone
We
call.
Can still be
isn't
on that,
that
show
amazing?
Wherever you are.
That's why this is what we're talking. This is so fantastic.
Yes.
The opportunities are unbelievable right
yes,
now.
Yes, unlimited, unlimited.
Unlimited. Yes.
Well, thank you for being here, Pastor Ernestine. Thank you for sticking around to listen to Cheryl. I know this has added value to you. And to you, my listeners, I love you. I want you to save the date for the Vision Weekend because you need to be there. It's going to be February the 18th through the 21st. And remember that you were created for greatness. Follow your destiny. I love you.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
I don't have all the pieces together. Because I believe that he's concerned about me. I just begin to say this by faith to the Lord. And I need you to grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this name. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this name. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody. You're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.
It's only me. How did you enjoy it?
Oh, I enjoyed the talk show. Very good. What's her name? Blanchard or Bouchard?
Bouchard. B-R-O, B-R-O-U, hold on. Let me spell her name. B-R-O-U-C-C, I think, no. Wait, give me a minute. B-R-O-U, where's our name? I'm always spelling her name wrong.
H-A-R-D?
No, but hold on. I'm trying to see if it's two S's or two C's. Oh, I know what it's doing. It's already on my show coming up. Wait. I forget I have a show tomorrow. For my, because I'm doing my birthday. B-R-O-U-S. B-R-O-U. B-R-O-U-S-S-A-R-D.
Okay.
Bouchard. Yeah.
And its first name is C-H-E-R?
Y-L.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the first book that she read, that she read? Sister CEO, that's the first one?
Sister CEO, A Woman's Guide to, yeah. If you go back on the blog and click on her stuff, it's up there.
Yeah, but I'm getting ready to go outside to shovel. But
oh, you're not on the computer.
No. What's the first book?
That's what I tell you. I think it is.
Oh, CEO.
Yeah, we got to find. When you have time, if you go on the blog, the books are up on the thing. It's Sister CEO Financial Guide to Something.
Okay,
it's green. It has a green cover and that. And mine is at my office, so I can't pull it to tell you what it is called.
Okay. Finance, I think Independence, she said, or something like that.
Right, something like that. I don't remember.
Okay. Now, I wanted to also, I started a business. I think I told you that.
You said you were, you told me you were going to, yeah.
Yeah, I registered already, and it's what I'm going to do, God gave me a vision. Actually, he gave me an idea. You know the woman that you introduced me to, Juliana?
Yeah.
Okay, well, she blessed me with some hair.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because I was looking for, some gray hair for myself, or silver hair, but my hair is really more whitish silver than it is mixed gray. So
yes.
And so, at any rate, the long and short of it is that she blessed me with some hair. And so she said that you could take this to a, salon or a stylist and see if she could make a ponytail for you.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down and I said, God, I have to take this to a salon. So the Holy Spirit said, you can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, how can I do that? So he showed me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I sew, right? So what happened, he showed me. And so what I did was, I made one.
Mm-hmm.
Now the one that I ordered from QVC or whoever, her name is Toni Bratton. I ordered one from her.
The one you used to wear?
Yeah, the ponytail piece?
Yeah.
Yes. I ordered that one from her, but I noticed that my hair stuck out, my white hair stuck out, and I said, I'm not going to do this. So then it turned out that the Lord showed me how to do it.
Right.
And when I put the ponytail piece on, no one, it's human hair, no one knew it was not my hair.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so that I looked on the internet, nobody, no hair place has what I have.
Mm.
And so Norman said to me, he said, Ernestine, that is a good idea.
Oh, I remember when you said he said that.
Yeah, and he offered me startup money.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this, did I tell you he's going to preach?
Excuse me?
Yeah.
No, I don't hear, I didn't hear you.
Oh, I said he's going to preach on Sunday.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, I'm going out of town. I have to go to Illinois, but see if I can sell some of this hair stuff to hair ponytails to the people in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
On there. But anyway, he's gonna pray. Well, thank God for that.
Ernestine?
Yes.
Thank you for telling me that. Because when I said what you said the other day, when you heard what I told you the other day,
yes.
And I'm going to be honest and open up to you.
Yes.
I wasn't telling you that because I was knowledgeable or skillful.
Yes.
I was telling you what the Holy Spirit had put in my heart to tell you.
Yes.
But I didn't say "Thus saith the Lord" or nothing like that, because I'm still so, I don't know if shy is the word or whatever. When the Spirit tells me something to tell anybody, sometimes I'm reluctant.
That's right.
To do it. But I say, all right, I'm just talking to a friend, so I'm just going to go ahead and just talk and talk and talk. And I, everything that the Spirit said to me, I just, it came out my mouth.
That's right.
So for you to come back and affirm now, this, I want to thank you, because it will help me to be more bold in what I do.
Well, see, now remember the interpretation of the dream. Because I have preached on this, on what we discussed, but I wasn't detailed. I didn't give a detailed description and overview. It's kind of like, it wasn't vague, but it was understood that, like Solomon, God asked Solomon in a dream, what would you like me to give you? What would you like me to do? And Solomon asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for riches or anything else. And so, to give him the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Even when the next day or shortly after, Solomon had to discern who was the real mother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, same thing with you. That was the same allegory. Same thing with you. When you told me the dream and I asked the Lord for the interpretation of the dream, God gave me interpretation of the dream. I told you what the dream was. And then from that, you ended up doing what God had given me the interpretation of the dream of what you were doing or what you saw yourself doing in the dream. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, shortly after you told me the dream, right?
Which dream was it?
That was a dream about the fruit and vegetables that didn't
grow. Oh, yes, 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 Lord, have mercy, yes.
And
I was walking with the lady skipping and we saw,
right.
Oh, Jesus, yes. Oh, Lord, yes.
Remember the tree that had these gold fruits on it?
Yes.
And it was in somebody's yard and you asked them, are you eating these fruits? They said, well, we didn't know that we could eat them.
Yes, yes.
And let me show you, this is how you eat them, this is how you peel it and so forth. See, you remember, the Spirit of the Lord gave me to tell you that you would be encouraging people.
Yes.
And their giftings and that sort of thing, you'll identify, it's stupid, you'll identify the giftings.
Yes.
And that you will demonstrate how these gifts are to be used.
Yes.
That's it. Remember when you were encouraging me, you said, don't go over the church, don't do this, don't do that.
Yes.
And you said that God is going to you because God has gifts in you and he's going to use those gifts for the people that are going to be coming to the church. Well,
Lord,
I didn't tell you then.
Lord,
God had told me that your giftings, the giftings that he had given me, which is more than one.
Yes.
He said you're going to be using those on the masses. I'm thinking, Lord, well, where are the masses? You know, you're telling me this, but I don't see anything. Only not to do what I was going to do.
Jesus.
So I said that to say this, that, what happens is you're going, and maybe God is using me as your guinea pig, so to say. I'm not even going to say guinea pig, but as an example of how you demonstrate your gifts. Because, you see, what happened is God allowed you to use the gifting that he gave you on me.
Did I tell you about a woman in my healing school class that gave me this beautiful sterling silver earring?
Yep.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah, you told me about her.
And she, this week now, I was there and I tell them about the conference I'm having and the Holy Spirit said, let them know you need help.
Right.
So, just like how the Holy Spirit tell me today, she need a grant writer to secure the money.
Yeah.
When I was talking to you on the show?
Right, yes.
Didn't I say to you, don't you need a grant writer?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit said to me, she need a grant writer that's going to secure grants for her to get the money to do the building.
Uh-huh.
That's why I said to you, don't you need a grant writer?
That's right. I was thinking to myself while you were talking.
Yeah.
How did she figure that out? And I said, well, yeah, I do need a grant writer.
Yes.
Yeah,
and you see,
right. Well,
and so the woman, they said to me, well, how can we help you and all of that? So I said, well, I'm looking for volunteers to man the site and everything. So when I'm in the, she and I in the kitchen, she was cleaning up some dishes after we had lunch. And she looked at me and she said, you know, she's a lay preacher over in New York. She said, you know,
I'm very good at registration and all those things at the registration desk. And she said, when I come here to healing school, I don't wear any makeup. But she said, when I'm going to the different churches to preach, I put my makeup on, and I must tell you, I look very glamorous.
That's right.
And I am very polite, and I'm pleasant. I know how to smile. I said, Joan, you ain't got to sell me on that. I said, you are in charge of the registration at the conference.
That's right.
She had the broadest grin on her face.
You see that?
Mm-hmm. When they gave us the diplomas, my name was on top, and then they called my name, and then they put mine to the back and said, oh, wait, we're not giving you yours yet. Then they gave me mine, and they hand me an envelope. In that envelope was a guest card for $50.
Wow.
From my friends at the oratory they gave me. Can you imagine?
Yeah. My God, that's a blessing.
You telling me? And I'm sitting down, and I'm such at peace, because I tell you, Steve had said, if I don't give substantial amount of money by tomorrow, he's going to terminate my lease and all of that. And I'm not worried about it, because right now I don't have the first dime. But I know God. I just called on there and leave a message telling him to call me at home.
Right.
And I've been praying. I said, God, please speak through me what to say to him.
Mm-hmm.
Speak through me what to say to him. Because what I'm doing, I know that you hear I'm on the show here talking.
Right.
And I reserve the last day to have an end of year show.
Right.
I had no idea what it was going to be. The Spirit tell me, position for relaunch,
mm-hmm.
and bring back some of the experts,
mm-hmm.
who can help people. So then I had Cheryl. I'm going to email Dr. Miles Monroe.
Right.
I'm going to email Ray Blanchard. I'm going to email Dennis Kimrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to email William Patterson. And then I can have them people on there in a panel.
That's right.
To talk about, tell people how to set up themselves for next year.
That's right. That's right.
So we can relaunch.
That's right. Well, I will tell you that when you introduced me to
Cheryl.
Well, not Cheryl.
Juliana.
Juliana, but yeah, Cheryl too. I'll tell you about her later. But when you introduced me to Juliana, she gave me the hair, and I've got the hair now. Working on a piece now, but when the Holy Spirit showed me how to put the pieces together,
mm-hmm.
so that it looks like it is your hair,
mm-hmm.
and it's not real thick,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it's not believable. Then he showed me how to do another hair piece where you just wrap it, you tie it,
mm-hmm.
and you bow it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just let the ribbon just hang.
Now you will have a website to put all them stuff. People from all over the world can buy them.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I already set up the business was set up. My son Cortland set it up for me. He registered it on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Now I guess I have to wait. I'm waiting for the state to send me the LLC information, the S corporation information.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I fill that paper out, I send it back in with my money.
Mm-hmm.
My money, and then I already paid for the business already. $100 I had to pay to register it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can technically, I'm up for business right now.
Yes.
But I don't have a liability protection yet until I get that LLC information. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, my son said that he's got something where I can still be protected.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, with that said, I have to, Juliana said that when at the end of the year, she's going to go into her back of her store and give me some hair. She said, I've got so much hair, you won't believe it.
Oh, Jesus.
She
that
said,
woman.
Going to give you. I said, no. She said, no, I'm going to give it to you.
That woman has so much hair.
Yeah, she said at the end of the year. So I said, well, all right then. So I hugged her and kissed her. When I said, now, would you be interested? When I showed her my hair piece, her husband looked. He said, I didn't know it wasn't your hair. That's going to spell.
My God.
It's going to spell.
My God.
So she only seen that one ponytail piece. She hasn't
mm-hmm.
seen the other ones that the Lord showed me.
Yes.
I make the wrap, tie, and bow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that thing is absolutely beautiful.
My God.
When I put it on my hair, it's a different color than my hair, but when I put it on, it's so easy. It only takes maybe 8 seconds.
My God.
9 seconds.
And you're going to do those in all colors?
Yes.
Oh, Lord. I know Blanche. Oh, Blanche be loving her some ponytail and stuff. And
Jesse, well, these are very elegant.
She have one that is dropping off her head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, man. Girl.
Oh,
I'm excited.
I'm doing synthetic, part synthetic, half synthetic, and half human.
Mm-hmm.
I like the human hair better.
Yes.
The human hair better. You can do more with it.
Mm-hmm.
Synthetic hair, although it's tangle free.
Yeah.
I still don't like it. It's more.
No, it doesn't do enough.
It's really for white people, but I took the synthetic hair because Juliana wanted to give it to me to show me.
Right. And there's some people who will buy that, you know. But you're going to have for people who wants to,
people that are classed.
Yeah.
By the human hair.
Exactly.
And that's where I'm gearing toward, because that was my vision. The vision was the human hair. And I made pieces for myself. And I tell you, they are absolutely elegant.
My God.
I mean, I can wear with a St. John knit suit. I can wear it with a beautiful, silk and a raw silk blouse and a nice wool skirt and some heels and a nice set of pearls and look really beautiful.
My God.
Really?
My God.
So I had this idea. So now, I said, Lord, I want this to be a specialty shop that people can shop online. And so this bit all made me to know, make, sell only what you can make.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Sell only what you can make. Now, I make wreaths because I have wreaths that are on my door, the front door of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I make Christmas ornaments out of pine cones, and I jewel them and glitter them.
Mm.
I hang them on trees, and I give them as gifts.
Mm.
And then I also make the hair, the decorative hair barrettes.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll...
My God. Sell only what you can make.
That's right.
Sell isn't that something?
And so I'm going to make prayer shawls.
Mm-hmm.
Because I sew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make the prayer shawls and then decorate those. And then I have little ponytail pieces. You know those scrunchies?
Yeah.
And I got an idea how to do the ponytail scrunchies so that it doesn't get tangled.
My God.
So all of this, I said, God, so I'm writing all this stuff down. So my son said to me, Mommy, he said, you may have the patent, the idea for the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said, because he said, I already looked into it. It's going to take $5,000 to $50,000 that has a patent. He said, but that's going to sell.
That's right.
My attorney said, it's my son, the attorney. He said, that's going to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the store, I mean, the name of the business is called Pretty Wonderful Things.
Oh, yeah, I heard you mention it on there, and I kind of felt that was the one thing you were talking about.
Yeah, Pretty Wonderful Things.
God is amazing.
Yeah, so once I get this developed, so I'm going to see who's going to do the website for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sister said that I can go online and see online stores, and then you can buy a website for $48. She said she bought hers. And
Who said that?
My sister.
Yeah, but make sure it's doing what you have to do, because a lot of time you get what you pay for. Because you are looking out there, you want people to be attractive to what you're getting, and you don't want to be burdening yourself to manage websites.
That's right.
Because you went up there and get, because what your sister is talking about is something like what you said, you did not renew. But the website you want is a website that somebody understand about what business on the internet is about, shopping carts, methods of payment, and a way where you can harness the people's information to build a database for yourself to use. So, you know, I mean, they have places that build websites and knows about all of that and what they call them, something another optimization where it positioned, because there are millions of hair shops out there already. So you want to be positioned so that when they do like a Google search, you are landed on the first page.
Yeah, that's what she said, the first 10 pages.
Exactly, so you're not way behind.
That's right, that's what she said. She said that she now has to find out how she can be on the first 10 pages. But when you go like to page 15, I mean, when I was looking for hair clamps. I had to go all the way to pay like 20 something.
And nobody's sticking around to go all that way. And I, you know, no disrespect or anything. You don't have that skill set to position yourself there.
That's right.
So they say we get what we invest in. So there are people out there who knows to do that. And that's where like the outsourcing can come in. Because I learned last week that for $4,000 a year, you can get somebody you employ full time as an independent contractor that does all your outsourcing work where you don't have to burden yourself. And those people have bachelor's degree, know what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Right.
So, it's wonderful.
And well, that's been, you know what, I asked my son Cortland to look into it. He said he's going to look into it. It's outsourced now. And you gave me that information.
Did you go, the website was, what is it now? www.freeoutsourcingcd.com/Daphne. Daphne, I think that's what it is. /Daphne.htlm.
Okay, then you said it's freeoutsourcingcd.com.
Right. /Daphne, DAPHNE.
Right. Oh, so one slash?
Yeah, the one under the question sign.
Okay, one slash. And then just Daphne,
D-A-P-H-N-E.
N-E, uh-huh.
Daphne. Dot. H-T-L-M.
H-T-L-M. Okay, so www.freeoutsourcingcd.
Mm-hmm.
/Daphne.hotmail.
No, not Hotmail.
H-T-L-M.
Right, that's a hyperlink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I'll look onto that. I just give that information to my son.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens. But, yeah, certainly that's what I want to do. I want to sell all this stuff on the Internet. And it's a specialty shop. It's just for ponytail pieces, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
And barrettes and prayer shawls and, you know, only what I can sew, bow ties for men and ties for men, belts and books, you know,
mm-hmm.
Children's books of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Specialty books. That's all I'm doing.
Good.
I think that's going to, and then once it gets going, but that particular ponytail that I am selling, that's going to be, certainly that's going to be a hot one.
That's right. That's right.
And anybody can buy wherever they are. The only thing is, I would need to know how I could, my son said he'll look at the incident, but how I could have the next batch.
That can happen, that when you have all your stuff together, that can happen in Japan or China.
Okay. And that comes through the free outsourcing?
You can no. The outsourcing is not free, it's just the information you get in.
Right.
It shows you how to connect. So you'll do this the research, but based on what I know about the here, because people go to Japan on vacation and come back, and I see them bring a whole lot of the human here back.
Right.
So you'll do the research to see the best place. And I know a woman who just did some research and connect with a printing company in Japan. So I'll ask her how did she locate the research. So all that information you're going to find online. But in China and Japan, I'm not sure about the Philippines yet, but in China and Japan is that where you're going to get a lot of that here thing done.
Okay. So that's probably where I would have them to make up the pony company for me when I get the volume.
Mm-hmm. But, because you're going to find a place that already have the kind of hair you want.
Right.
And they just need to make and ship to you. Right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so once you have your design and stuff, it probably means that you're going to take a trip there to inspect what you expect and all of that before you invest.
Right.
But that's easy.
Oh, that's good.
Because you're not going to want to buy here to ship there.
No.
Because here is already there. That's where these people buy from. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
All the wholesalers out in California and stuff that supply Juliana, they got their hair from overseas somewhere.
Right.
So that's where you need to find where they're getting it from.
Right.
So you cut the middleman out.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. As soon as I find out where the hair comes from, I probably would need to take a trip out there, maybe, you know, 2 days and see where it is and then come back.
Yep.
But my son did say that once we get the volume, he said then I can make up a piece of hair, or not a piece of hair, but a ponytail piece, take it to where I need to, either he said manufacturer, and then have it distributed.
Yeah. Because once you get the manufacturers overseas that you give your sample to with what you need to be done, then you're going to have a distribution like how they have those distribution out in California that distribute it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm saying.
So we'll see.
All right.
You are
welcome.
And I thank you for when you said clarity, Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that you caught me on that, because I was being distracted actually while I was talking.
But you know the enemy, you know the computer?
Yes.
Kicked me off, shut right down.
Really?
And I was so blessed when I came back and heard you talking. I said, devil, you're a liar. You're not going to stop this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I always brief my guests that if anything happens, continue talking.
Well, so, I think this was the second time something like that happened to me where the computer, I was on another talk show that aired, the woman got based within New Jersey.
Uh-huh. The people can still hear you, so you just continue talking.
That's exactly
this
right.
Is the first this ever shut me completely down. Kicked me off.
Mm-hmm. My God.
Black screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat here and watched it come up. Then something come up and it said it shut down for update. And I'm thinking, I never see my computer update this time of day. Give me a break.
She said this never happened to her before. She said this is the first time in the years that she's been on the blog.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you know, this is going to be a wonderful message for Fia. What I talked about was forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And unforgiveness, and what happens when you don't forgive.
Yep.
And I gave a testimony regarding that, and I continued, and I preached on, you know, what happens when you forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful for a whole hour. So, yeah, I know
good.
You need to shut it down. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go. I'm gonna
all right. You have a blessed day.
Thank you. All
right.
For allowing me to be on the show.
Yes. Bye-bye.